Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble and John Jackson filling in for Aaron Flint here. We are live on New Year's Eve. John Jackson, thanks so much for joining us. You just mentioned you just had a breaking news thing come up.
Yeah, interesting. This happened about, 45 minutes ago. A military appeals court has ruled against Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's effort to throw out the plea deals reached for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and two other defendants in the 9/11 attacks. And if you remember what happened with that, of course, like every Democrat administration, Joe Biden is trying to help the worst terrorists in the world while he victimizes the American people. And what they were going to do was get plea deals for these guys. And they're trying to empty out Gitmo, the whole bit. Well, there was such a big PR blowback to that thing that they got Lloyd Austin to raise his hand and say, no, they're under my jurisdiction. We're not going to have that. Well, somehow a military appeals court has now struck down his decision. 20 days. You know, here we are, 6 weeks after the election or whatever, and now 20 days to go in Joe Biden's presidency. Can he get these guys pled out in that time? I'm sure that's what they would like to do.
Spending their last days in office doing everything they can to help the criminals and the murderers and the rapists and the illegal aliens, and they're trying. It's just unbelievable. But I just had a thought there on Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and what he did to be the mastermind of 9/11. And then remember Rush Limbaugh used to call it Club Gitmo?
Well, they get their air conditioners and their prayer rugs and their soccer fields and all that. See, I've said for years there never should have been a Gitmo. The spooks have black sites, what's called black sites, all over the world. These guys should have been taken to these black sites, had a chat with, and then disappeared. I mean, there should have been an official Gitmo like that.
It doesn't make sense to hold these terrorists without charge and without trial for decades. And I mean, Barack Obama said he was going to close Gitmo, 20 years ago, and it hasn't happened. Of course, what do you do when you've got somebody like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, obviously a radical Islamic terrorist, mastermind 9/11. I always thought it was so funny because, back during the George W. Bush administration, the Democrats, they had no problem with us droning and bombing and killing terrorists overseas. But if you arrest them, you can't hold them in jail. It's like, okay, so it's okay for us to kill them and bomb them and drone them, but we can't arrest them and hold them? I never understood that argument from the Democrats.
Well, and the next evolution of that was with Joe Biden, where he didn't bomb even bad guys. He just bombed innocent families over there, because the Taliban told him to, or he's bombing some mud hut 5 miles outside of Afghanistan where nobody was to pretend like they were doing something. That's the evolution of the Democrats' incompetence.
Right. Well, I know John Jackson's got a list of items to talk about. We've got open phones, 406-294-0970. And I've also got a list of topics here to talk about. But we do take phone calls, and whatever you want to talk about, you can call in. It's David Noble, Noble with a K, and John Jackson filling in for Aaron Flint. Find John Jackson at PVT Joker US on X.
Securing America.
More than 1 million people will crowd into New York's Times Square tonight to watch the traditional ball drop in the beginning of the new year. New York Mayor Eric Adams said during a briefing Monday, one of the main questions that goes into the planning of the celebration is,
how do we continue to keep New Yorkers and visitors safe to enjoy the New Year's?
New York City Police Commissioner Jessica Tisch delivered some good news.
At this time, there are no specific
credible threats to the Times Square New Year's Eve celebration.
Tisch also reminding those who plan to be there that in addition to the police, people do see.
There will be plenty of security measures that you will not see.
Those include plainclothes officers and personnel in helicopters and boats, as well as the use of drones. Mayor Adams adding security is everyone's responsibility.
If you see something, say something, but most importantly, do something.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We are going to take you into January of 2025 with some great content, great guests, great hosts, and of course, your phone calls. David Noble will be in the house. Scott Aspenlighter in the house as well. So stay tuned to Montana Talks right here on your favorite radio station on through 2024, right into 2025 with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey,
this is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble, John Jackson filling in for Aaron Flint live on New Year's Eve. We just got done having that conversation with the auditor James Brown. That was fantastic. Did you get a chance to listen to much of that conversation, John?
Yeah, that was some riveting radio there, Dave, listening to James Brown talk about crypto. I just about wrecked my truck on the way out.
wait, so are you saying you're not a crypto guy?
No. Not at all, no.
Why not? Why don't you buy some Bitcoin?
I just haven't gotten into it. I'm not a big investor. I'm very, very put it somewhere where to earn 4 or 5%, real safe, real conservative.
You've got a cabin and you can afford groceries, so what else do you need?
Exactly, right.
You gonna go up to the cabin this weekend or what?
Yep. I think gonna have to make the move here pretty soon because it is getting ready to dump. Have you seen the forecast for mid to late January? Now they're talking about a polar vortex coming down in the United States that is going to drive temperatures below freezing down into North Florida and seriously cold wind chills even into the deep south. You know, this is a model. Okay, it's not the official prediction yet or forecast, but they're talking about, you know, 20 below, 30 below in the deep south with wind chills. It's getting ready to get cold.
It is. The producer says he already has 3 paychecks worth of Bitcoin more, and he's also looking forward to the snow for the snowboarding. So I also don't own Bitcoin yet, but I don't necessarily trust the Federal Reserve to have a sound currency and to prevent, you know, monetization of our debt and a destruction of the dollar.
Now, I've got gold and silver. I have, and land. Those are my backstops. I just haven't gotten into Bitcoin.
Okay, fair enough. What else did you have on your list there?
Well, have you seen? You couldn't avoid it if you've watched the news for the past 24 hours. The canonization, now the sainthood of Jimmy Carter. You know, Jimmy Carter is now a saint, even according to Fox News. My God, you turn on Fox News and that's all they do for hours on end is tell you what a great and saintly man Jimmy Carter is. And I was alive, you know, when he was president. Now, admittedly, I was a young boy, but I remember it well. I remember this was the first time you saw a U.S. president in a short 4 years take us, I mean, economically, foreign policy, everything, take us down to the dirt to where we were to the point of possibly losing our standing in the world because of this guy. He was so bad that the Democrats themselves primaried him. Teddy Kennedy, if you remember that, primaried him, you know, lost, and then, of course, Reagan took him down in a landslide. But, you know, please. And then his post-presidency, the whole time, all he did was meddle in foreign affairs and tell foreign countries to not side with us, to break their relationships with us. I mean, no, you're not going to get me here 40, 50 years later to talk about what a good man he was because he built a few houses.
Did Have you been following the Scott Jennings appearances on CNN?
Oh, yeah, I love that guy. Yeah.
Did you see what he said about Jimmy Carter?
Yes.
He said that Jimmy Carter, in like 93 or whenever the Gulf, 91 or whenever the Gulf War started, Jimmy Carter, as an ex-president, sent letters to our allies telling them to not support us in the Persian Gulf War. I couldn't believe that when I saw it. And Scott Jennings, obviously going viral every time he appears on CNN, and he's spot on and he's so good. It's amazing that CNN has a guy like him.
And don't forget, he's out there saying that from 2016, Donald Trump was an illegitimate president, that he cheated because Russia helped him.
Scott Jennings was saying that?
No, Carter.
Oh, Carter was. Oh, right.
This guy is not your grandpa's, you know, Democrat president home builder. This guy's a cheesy, typical, nasty Democrat, and you won't hear me singing his praises in any kind of eulogy.
Fair enough, but Donald Trump did.
What, I forgot, what did Trump say?
Oh, Trump just said he was a good guy, I think, basically.
Well, you know, you have to say things like that if you're in a position that Donald Trump is in. You're going to be, you know, come out and say something nice, be diplomatic.
Right. Did you see that story about how after this whole H-1B debate, which I know that you don't think is a good debate to have, but did you see Susie Wiles, the incoming chief of staff, had reiterated her previous order to all cabinet nominees? You're not allowed to post on social media unless you clear it with White House counsel first. Of course, the H-1B thing didn't come from a cabinet nominee.
Yeah, and what they should have told him, the minute you were under consideration, you know, when you come in for that interview, they tell you, okay, go back to Twitter or any of your social media and delete, delete. We want that one giant clean slate before we even announce your name out here. That's what they should have said.
Right. Well, so explain why you don't think that the H-1B, and by the way, H-1B is some high-skilled immigrant visa thing. Elon Musk posted saying, I support it. It caused this whole internal war. I saw you posting basically about how it's kind of a distraction.
Well, okay, yes, that program needs to be reformed. It has been horribly abused. If you look at the numbers of people that and who are getting those visas, it's been horribly abused. But let's be real, man. I mean, that's what, number 20,376 on our to-do list here? I mean, well, the numbers, we'll get to that.
Yeah, you know? And the numbers, I mean, I think I saw something that it's like 85,000 H-1B visas or something like that. And then Elon Musk said it should be 15,000. And I'm like, when you're talking about 20 to 30 million illegal aliens, you know, 15,000 H-1Bs is really not the top of the priority list.
Well, you know what really got people set off the other day was that tweet from Vivek Ramaswamy. If you read
it, you know, right. Where he was basically saying, like, the American culture is lazy. You guys can't compete. You guys like to, you know, by the way, we do have a caller on the line. I am going to come to Kat in Eastern Montana. Kat, I didn't want to come to you because we're up against the break here. But you're right, John, that Vivek tweet talking about how, you know, like we make fun of Screech and Steve Urkel, and we should really be, you know, having Steve Urkel and Screech be our heroes was kind of, and then in India apparently the Screeches and the Steve Urkels of the world are the big hot shots.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Very few of us took economics classes. Perhaps even fewer remember what was said. But we all have a stake in the economy, especially the fight against inflation. And what's been going on in that fight lately isn't exactly how they draw it up on the blackboard. Putting the brakes on the economy when it's running hot is definitely part of the script, of course. That's just what the Fed did when inflation spiked up. Perhaps a bit late, yes. But when it got going, it definitely turned a crank. At the beginning of 24, the Fed said the economy would grow by 1.4% and that the so-called core rate of inflation would slow to 2.4%. And it said they would lower rates three times. So we get to the end of the year and growth looks like it'll come in at 2.8% and inflation up to 2.8% as well. So why did they lower interest rates again? With strong growth and inflation still above target? It doesn't make sense. The Fed is clearly not following the rules and we ought to know why. I'm Patrick Barkey.
brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. There's a push by some outside advocacy groups to grow the size of Congress. In theory, that would make the institution more small d, democratic. The Constitution doesn't mandate the size of the House, and until the early 1900s, its membership increased regularly as the country's population grew. That stopped when a freeze was put in place in 1929, though debates about proportional representation and congressional capacity remain. There's a push by one group to actually grow the House by an extra 150 representatives. House members currently represent about 750,000 people, sometimes more, sometimes less. In early 2023, Democratic Illinois Representative Sean Casten introduced a bill to add around 38 new members of the House. Around the same time, Democratic Oregon Congressman Earl Blumenauer prepped a bill to lift the artificial cap on House members. That bill would have increased the number of House seats to 585. There was muted response to both bills. President George Washington set a target of 30,000 people per representative. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble, John Jackson, live on New Year's Eve, and we're going straight to Kat in eastern Montana. Kat, thanks for calling.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good morning. Happy New Year, and thank you to our veterans. Call me Circleback Saki, because I know we talked about this yesterday a smidgen, but I'm interested to take the subject just a little bit deeper, and that's the speaker race. Trump endorsed Mike Johnson yesterday, but to be fair and balanced, Trump also had endorsed Speaker Paul Ryan. So sure, Trump has some experience now, and we could assume Trump, you know, won't make the same mistakes. Maybe these facts don't even make a difference. I don't know. But the point is, number one, do you think Speaker Johnson is doing a good job? Number two, do you think Speaker Johnson is effective? And number three, why do you think Trump endorsed Speaker Johnson?
Wow, great questions. Great questions. I always like how she hangs up, too. Good call. Thank you so much. I'll throw that one to you, John Jackson.
Well, right off the bat, Mike Johnson is awful. He's terrible. He collaborates with Democrats. He's completely weak on everything. But, okay, if I had a choice to get rid of him, I would have, but I would have got rid of him a year ago. Right now, where you have the incoming Republican president and we don't have another viable candidate here, you've only got right now one, maybe two people. This gal, Victoria Spartz, is meeting with him with a list of demands to be able to vote for him and all this stuff.
I saw Mike Johnson, a clip. I think he was on TV this morning or last night. He said he's got the votes to be speaker.
He did say that, yeah, which means he's only got Massey, I believe, out there who said he's going to vote against him. And really, right now, they don't have another viable candidate. We do not need this cluster fudge going on right when we have an incoming Republican president. And also, I think that Donald Trump's force of personality is going to flip Johnson back to us. He's going to take his marching orders, or he should, from Donald Trump.
So let me just play a little bit of devil's advocate. So if you actually look at voting records in the House of Representatives, Mike Johnson had one of the most conservative voting records of anybody in the House prior to becoming Speaker of the House. And I think that's why he was ultimately put up as Speaker, that very religiously a conservative, socially a conservative. And so he is on our side. He is a conservative. I think what explains what he's done is number one, and this is where it's like, okay, now I'm playing devil's advocate. I don't necessarily believe this. But isn't it just the case that it's a political reality in Washington, D.C., that, look, we're not going to be able to balance the budget. Yeah, the Republicans control the House, but when Democrats control the Senate, Democrats control the White House, we are not going to be able to pass a balanced budget or appropriations bills or anything else in the House that's not going to get shut down in the Senate and is going to get vetoed by the White House. And so while you might say, okay, he's, and I agree with you, like what he did with that CR, the 1,500-page thing, and he's done it previously too, where he goes and works with the Democrats and then will bring something up on the floor that passes with Democrat votes, right? And none of us like that. But just to play devil's advocate, I'd hear your response to this. Isn't that, doesn't he just have to do that as a matter of political reality because we don't have control of the branches, we don't have the votes to really do what we'd all like to be done?
Absolutely not. And here's why. Because, okay, you're right. You've got Schumer in the Senate and Biden in the White House, so you're not going to get a lot of big spending cuts by. But what should have been done during this session of the House is what we're saying is we are not giving one more GD dime to Ukraine. First of all, and we are not giving one more GD dime to these programs that have been funding the illegals. Here they are on one side, all over Fox News, screaming about the illegals and the border invasion while they are funding every stinking bit of it, man. So you could have said, we will not fund Ukraine. We will not fund these NGOs anymore. And if you want to shut down the government over it, fine. We'll bless off on everything else because you guys run the Senate and the White House, but we draw the line right here. The American people would have been up behind them on it, but what do they do? No, they just vote for the whole thing and then claim, oh, we just have a slim majority and we only control one third of it. Come on, please. then what's the point of y'all being there? What's the point of having the speaker?
No, right? I agree, and I do agree with you. And I think that if the Republicans did exactly what you did and it ended up in a government shutdown, then what the Republicans need to do is take their case to the American people and say, look, we voted in the House of Representatives. We voted to fund the government and to open the government. The only thing that we did not have in our bill was the funding that you just talked about. And then if the Democrats refuse to pass that or Biden vetoes it, and then they pass a budget that does include those things, and then the House doesn't pass it, and so, okay, now we're in a government shutdown. You take your case to the American people, and I think that's one that we can win. And frankly, not only just the two cuts that you're talking about, I think we ought to go even further and say we're not passing any spending bills or budgets until we are on a path towards fiscal sustainability. We're not there. $36 trillion in debt, adding $2 trillion of debt every single year. Our interest expense on our debt is now exceeding how much we spend on the military. But I think with number one, the polling shows that the American people are with us on that. And then number two, I think what you have with the Mike Johnsons and the GOP is they still think that people care about what the mainstream media says. They still are scared of the mainstream media. I think what's really telling is what happened recently with X. And then I also saw something that was super interesting where actually in 2024, the 65-year-old plus actually shifted blue. And it was actually the younger generations that really shifted right and really put Trump. And everybody's kind of wondering, what's this? This doesn't make sense. Usually it's the older folks that want to vote for. No, what it is it's those older generations that still have some trust left in the mainstream media. So I think two things. One, with the new media, with X, with Elon, and then with the American people on our side on spending cuts, you shut the government down, you take your case to the American people, and you win that case. That's what I think.
Oh, absolutely. You saw what was the number one polled problems that the American people had this time, their issues. It was the economy and the border. Okay, easy. You cut that spending to Ukraine and you cut the spending to the illegals. That's why they're all here, people, is because billions of our tax dollars went out the door to fund all these NGOs who bring them in here and house them and feed them and all that. And the Republicans have been approving it for 2 years. I mean, it's outrageous. And that's the first thing I think what I'm hearing is that day one, Donald Trump's going to declare a national emergency behind the border. And he may use that national emergency to stop that funding right away and to repurpose it. I'm hearing that. I'm hoping it's true.
I hope so, too. And to clarify, not all Republicans were voting for this funding the last 2 years. Matt Rosendale voted against it every single time.
Yeah, and what they were playing their little games of the majority of the majority, and that's what they did. They're counting out their 109 that they need to call out the majority of the majority, and they're all people that, you know, they feel safe voting that way. So the rest of them can say, I didn't vote for that. I didn't vote. Is it your turn to vote for that? No, are we playing musical chairs today? They think we're stupid is what they're, and, you know, I'm watching, boys. I'm paying attention, and I'm not stupid.
No, that's right, and man, it's going to be interesting with the majority size we have in the House, where we've got two or three votes we can majority in the House.
God, I'm so sick of hearing that crap, Dave. I mean, what did Chuck Schumer had zero. He had, it was 50-50, and he had Kamala Harris to break the ties. Did they ever not get what they want? Not even once? No, they got everything they wanted. The House, Nancy Pelosi had, what, four or five? They got everything they wanted. I don't want to hear, if we have a majority, that's a majority. I don't want to hear this crap. Oh, my gosh, we can't. If you can't control the House, if you can't control your caucus, don't be the Speaker. Right?
Right, yeah. Well, and the other thing that I'm really looking forward to is just a Trump without having to worry about reelect. And I think one of my favorite things that Trump said, and I wished he would have followed through on this, was if you recall during his first administration when Congress first passed a CR bill, and he said, I'm going to sign this one to keep the government open, but I will never, ever, ever sign another piece of trash like this again. And that was early on. And unfortunately, Congress just kept passing, you know, crap CRs like that, and unfortunately Trump signed them going forward. I'd like to see Trump actually veto a bunch of this trash coming out of Congress, frankly.
And you're going to have, I said that in a tweet, your guys are going to have to be embedded on the day-to-day with the House and with the Senate, because they cannot be trusted to make a cup of coffee. And you need to tell them weeks ahead of time, this is what we'll go for and this is what we will not. And if you send me any of this stuff we will not, I will veto it and embarrass you. If worldwide, you're going to get embarrassed.
Right. And we actually have the ability to do that now, because nobody trusts the mainstream media anymore, and everybody under 65, it looks like, is getting their news elsewhere.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right about the 65s and ups. Those are the people that maybe still get their information from the daily paper, that last generation that you know, reads the newspaper, and of course newspapers across the country are utter crap, but those people, little by little by little, even my mother, who's in her 80s, she's canceling her newspapers because they're this thick anymore. They're three pages.
And it's all AP. It's all AP trash. You know what? Actually, what my folks have done is started getting Epoch Times. Epoch Times is if you're out there, and we've got lots of listeners on this show that still read the Billings Gazette, still read the Bozeman Daily Chronicle every day. And that's fine if you take it for what it is. And I read mainstream media, and one thing I've gotten really good at over the years is reading mainstream media and then separating the lies, you know, from the truth. But, you know, that takes – I've been working at it for decades and decades and decades, went through law school, studied it in law school, focused on this, and even I'll sometimes catch myself believing something I've read in the mainstream media. And I forgot. I have to assume this is a false lie.
I want to live long enough, Dave, to have every single employee of the Billings Gazette, I want to see them serving me fries in a restaurant. That is my ultimate goal in this life. I want to live that long.
Well, you could be there. You know what we ought to have? We ought to have John Jackson start writing stories on the Montana Talks website. That way, if folks are sick of reading the Billings Gazette or something, you know, they could just go on Montana Talks. Of course, there's all kinds of good written content up there right now from Aaron Flint and others. We got a couple more minutes. We'll be right back.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
David Noble, John Jackson, live on New Year's Eve 2024. Just there during the break, I was showing John Jackson this story that I found posted here just recently. Gavin Newsom planning to help illegal migrants escape Trump's deportation efforts. California Governor Gavin Newsom's administration is scrambling to implement new plans to aid illegal aliens in avoiding deportation under Donald Trump. According to an internal memo with the Newsom admin, the admin is proposing the creation of an immigrant support network comprised of regional hubs to connect illegal aliens and their families and their communities with legal services, schools, labor unions, local governments, etc. My first comment, John Jackson, is I thought that was a crime, and you ought to be arrested and thrown in prison for interfering with law enforcement efforts and obstructing justice and harboring illegal aliens, harboring criminals, you name it.
Yeah, and what they're going to have to start out doing, and I'm pretty sure this will be the tack, is, first of all, like we said in the previous segment, you're going to have to cut off the money. No more money for hotels and food and all this. Second, go after the businesses. Make big public arrests and fines of these businesses out there that are hiring illegal aliens. And then number three, you're going to have to make an example of somebody, one of these Democrat officials out here, say a Gavin Newsom, somebody like that, who is harboring, aiding and abetting, obstructing the federal immigration people as they go about their business here, and charge them federally, lock them up. And once you do those three things and sustain it for, say, 6 months, everybody's going to get the message and everybody's going to be headed south.
I would love to see Gavin Newsom and all of his little underlings get arrested and thrown in federal prison for obstruction of justice and harboring illegal aliens and interfering with federal law enforcement. It would be a new day in America.
I tell you, and I would, you know, this is just kind of person I am, Dave. Okay, I just put this out there for you.
Okay, comes the unworld part of the show.
See, what I would start off with one of these guys, it would be an intelligence operation. What I would do is let it slip out to one of these people. Hey, there's going to, you know, say somebody in Gavin Newsom's or what's his name, Brandon Johnson up there in Chicago. Let it slip. We're going to have an operation in this area over here against this person. And then we're going to be monitoring the whole thing, and we're going to wait for them to notify and help that person escape. It's going to be a setup to try to trap them to do that. And when they do it, pow! I mean, we're not going to wait for them to do it ourselves. We're going to put the bait out there, see if they'll take it, and hammer them.
I one thing you said there I really agree with is going after these business owners. One thing I've noticed in the mainstream media is they expect us to have sympathy for business owners because they can't harvest their crop. They're not going to be able to get their, you know, get their produce picked without these illegal. And the construction companies aren't going to be able to hire workers if we don't have a bunch of illegal aliens. And the mainstream media actually wants us to feel sorry for these businesses, and then for us to say, oh, well, if that business is going to struggle without using illegal aliens as essentially slave labor, then, you know, maybe we shouldn't deport anybody and we should just legalize. And I'm sitting there watching and I'm going, hold on, you want me to feel bad for that business owner? I actually view that business owner as a criminal because it is a crime to hire illegal aliens. And in fact, not only is it a federal crime to hire an illegal alien, it's also a state crime. And frankly, it's one of the things I've been wanting to ask our attorney general about, is because we do have a statute on the books in Montana that makes it a crime to hire or contract with an illegal alien, and it is rampant all across Montana. It is rampant across Montana. I think you even saw Ryan Bussey criticizing Greg Gianforte for hiring illegal aliens to do his roof. And of course, we all know that, you know, nothing special about that situation.
That was so racist, Dave. I was so offended. Just because these poor young men are brown-skinned and they speak Spanish, that mean old Ryan Fussy was saying that they were illegals. I was mortified at that. No, the thing that not a lot of people are talking about is the need to appoint special counsels here. I mean, obviously, you know, January 6th, COVID, and the border. And this is not a want to. This is a got to. We have got to appoint special counsels on these places now. Say for the border, because this was a massive criminal conspiracy across the government and a government partnership with the private sector to commit crimes, okay? And second, if we don't do this, if they are allowed to get away with this, then the next Democrat administration, Gavin Newsom, when he comes in here, is just going to fling open the border again, and this will happen all over again. But see, if they see people going to jail behind this, the next Democrat that comes in will be more likely to follow the law.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And frankly, if we don't have statutes right now on the books that would authorize a federal criminal prosecution against the Mayorkas of the world and everybody else that did this knowingly, intentionally violating their oath of office, their legal obligations to our country, intentionally avoiding our and interfering with our laws, et cetera, et cetera. If that's not already a federal crime, then, hey, we control Congress and the Senate and the presidency, and we can pass new statutes that make it a definite crime going forward. It's like a lot of these things that have been happening the last 4 years. It's like, My view on it is a lot of this stuff should be prosecuted. If it's not, if we don't have something that makes what they've done here a crime, then we need new laws that does make it a crime.
And see, I'm telling you right now, I know my people. This is right here. This is for the taking, because all those people in the Border Patrol, the people, the big bosses and all that stuff down on the border for the last 4 years, yeah, they've been following orders and doing what they were told. But I tell you right now, brother, they've been keeping all of the emails. They've been keeping every one of them, making copies, putting them in a file and taking them home. And they're all you got to do is subpoena these guys and they will show up with the whole file of all the evidence coming out of D.C. where D.C. told them to break the law. It's right there for the taking.
Yeah, no, that's huge. I was watching Kash Patel on with Glenn Beck, and I couldn't tell if this was an older clip or something recent. Now, Kash Patel, obviously nominee for the FBI. Could there have been a better nominee for the FBI?
Oh, he'll be awesome. He will be awesome.
He's not an actual I don't think head of the FBI is a cabinet position, so maybe he is out there doing media still. But, you know, if folks haven't heard Kash Patel tell the story about what really happened with the Russia hoax and stuff like that, people need to go find some Kash Patel videos on YouTube and listen to him. But listening to what they did to Trump during his first administration with the deep state and the FISA abuses and that FBI agent, Kevin Kleinsmith, who legitimately straight up fraudulently altered a document in seeking FISA warrants to spy on Trump and all of that stuff. And yeah, he did. He got prosecuted, you know, but he was the only one, you know, and it's like you what happened to Trump is egregious with all of that stuff and so many examples of it in the lawfare. Jack Smith, I mean, that guy was acting without legal authority. He was acting as a United States attorney when he had never been confirmed by the Senate. I mean, we could just go on and on and on with the abuses and the violations.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's really interesting to see how Pam Biondi and the Trump administration approaches the whole notion of a special counsel, because that Florida judge ruled that.
Correct.
The notion of a special counsel is not constitutional. And
right.
It's a backup of an argument that Clarence Thomas made on the record in one of those decisions. And they're right there in the Constitution. It says you must be a constitutional officer, meaning already in the government, swore, you know, all that stuff. Well, they've pulled these special counsels just out of private sector.
They could appoint me any random private licensed attorney can allegedly be appointed special counsel. And then you've got just a random private lawyer prosecuting on behalf of the United States of America, our former president and future president. I mean, this is the type of stuff you'd expect to see out of dictatorships and things like that. It's just crazy to think that is going on here.
It'd be easy enough. I tell you what I would do. To avoid all that, I would just find my guys out there. Find your guys out there, your AUSAs that are already retirement eligible. You know, they got their time in and can retire any day. Okay, here's your last assignment, bro. You're going to be the guy that runs this case, and you're not going to operate out of the office. We're going to get you a special office away from it. You pick your staff, the whole bit, but it will be a guy that's already on the payroll, so we don't have to deal with all that whole special counsel crap.
Right. And just to clarify, so what the Constitution says is that for a federal officer. A federal officer, there's a difference between like a federal officer and a federal employee. A federal officer is somebody who basically can act on behalf of the United States. And the Constitution requires federal officers to be appointed by the president and confirmed by the United States Senate. And every United States attorney in our country was appointed by the president and confirmed by the United States Senate. And the United States attorneys have a lot of power. They get to decide who they're going to prosecute and who they're not going to prosecute. And so the notion that, you know, Merrick Garland appointed Jack Smith. It was not President Biden. So that's the first problem. It came from Merrick Garland, not President Biden. Second of all, Jack Smith was never confirmed by the United States Senate. And so, but yet, he was out there acting on behalf of the United States, prosecuting Donald Trump as if he was a full-blown United States attorney. And he's not. He's just any random private lawyer. We'll be right back.
the truth, and nothing but. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
According to FoxNews.com, a number of D.C. dining establishment waiters, waitresses, bartenders vowing to discriminate against Trump officials by doing everything they can to make their dining experience miserable. Maybe the owners of these fine establishments should ferret out any of these Trump-hating staff members. Anyway, food workers in D.C. have pledged to refuse service, cause other inconveniences for members of the incoming Trump administration when they dine out over the next 4 years. That means bartenders, servers in the Capitol telling the Washingtonian that resistance to Republican figures in the progressive city was inevitable and a matter of conscience. You're pretty stupid if you do that, with all due respect. But that doesn't surprise me.
Keeping you on the straight path. Later today, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
It's been used as a store of value for thousands of years. It's known as a safe haven asset in times of uncertainty. It's breaking record after record this year, and many economists are predicting it could skyrocket even higher. Of course, I'm talking about the precious metal, gold. Right now, thousands of Americans are looking to precious metals like gold and silver to diversify their savings. Even central banks around the world are stocking up on gold. Is it time you learn more about what precious metals can do for you? Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. Right now, the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, is offering a free gold and silver kit to arm you with the facts about how gold could potentially help safeguard your retirement. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy of the 2025 gold and silver kit free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Very few of us took economics classes. Perhaps even fewer remember what was said. But we all have a stake in the economy, especially the fight against inflation. And what's been going on in that fight lately isn't exactly how they draw it up on the blackboard. Putting the brakes on the economy when it's running hot is definitely part of the script, of course. That's just what the Fed did when inflation spiked up. Perhaps a bit late, yes. But when it got going, it definitely turned the crank. At the beginning of 24, the Fed said the economy would grow by 1.4% and that the so-called core rate of inflation would slow to 2.4%. And it said they would lower rates three times. So we get to the end of the year and growth looks like it'll come in at 2.8% and inflation up to 2.8% as well. So why did they lower interest rates again? With strong growth and inflation still above target, it doesn't make sense. The Fed is clearly not following the rules and we ought to know why. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by 27400 or book online at Open Table.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We've got open phone lines, 406-294-0970. If you want to be on the show, 406-294-0970. Menace from Ennis sent us a message. He said, we don't need illegal aliens because we will have all the laid off government bureaucrats to flip burgers and pick lettuce. That's actually funny because we were just talking. I was just talking during the break with John about how I was watching that Cash Patel interview with Glenn Beck, and he had brought up the fact that, you know, Cash Patel obviously was in the first Trump administration. He talked about how they fired Andrew McCabe and took away his pension. Obviously, Andrew McCabe, one of the corrupt FBI leaders that spied on Trump. And so they fired him and took away his pension. And then Andrew McCabe ended up getting his pension back under the Biden administration, although I don't know if it was the court or the Biden administration that gave it back to him. But you were kind of explaining how that not super uncommon in the federal bureaucracy for folks to get fired for poor performance or whatever it may be, like Andrew McCabe, and then to get their pensions and back pay and everything else.
Yeah, it's pretty common. And there's an easy solution to all this. First of all, the SES Corps, that's your main high-level management across the board in the government, can be fired without cause. First day, boom, you're out, because they serve at the pleasure of the president. gone, you're out. And then everybody else below them, you identify the bad actors, and if I can move you, I'm going to move you. You're going to Moose Nuts, Arkansas. Boom, pack your bags. Or if you don't have a mobility agreement, if you're one of these agencies that doesn't have that, well, then you're going down to the basement. You're being reassigned down to the basement, and down there you're going to stare at a wall for 8 hours a day, and I will make you quit. And if you don't quit, you, at the very least, you will never see another document from my administration. You will not be put in a position to where you can sabotage and undermine me.
Hey, did you see that somebody had asked Grok, which is the ex-AI thing, about what percentage of jobs created under the Biden administration went to white men? Did you see that?
But you never know if I saw it. You never know if it's true.
That was something that was on my mind. Looks like we got a caller, and this is Montana Talks. So we go straight to the phones. We got Aaron in Three Forks. Aaron, thanks for calling in.
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. Say, we were talking about number one, to criminalize the parents of mass shooter kids.
Yes.
And I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine about that, and he said, "Well, why would you criminalize the parents? They're not shooting up their homes. The problem isn't in the home. The problem's in the school. Why isn't the school being criminalized for these incidences?"
Yeah, that was...
And I thought...
Go ahead.
I thought that was a pretty... it was a brilliant statement. It was a brilliant thought, because the schools have your kids for 8 hours a day. They have more influence and time spent with your child than a parent does.
No, that's right. And I don't know if you heard it yesterday, John, but there was a story out of Kentucky. A Republican state lawmaker in Kentucky is putting forth a new bill to hold the parents criminally liable if their child, an underage minor child, takes the parent's gun and goes and uses it in an act of evil. And we were kind of talking about that yesterday. I think Aaron Three Forks makes some good points, and other folks had called in yesterday kind of making the same thing. And it's like, well, hold on. If you're going to say it's the parent's responsibility if their kid takes a gun and goes and does something, well, isn't it the Democrats that try to say that actually our kids aren't our kids? They're actually the society's kids, and it takes a village to raise them, and they're not really your kids. And I don't know, John, your thoughts?
I mean, yeah, you're a lawyer, Dave. I worked in this, you know, my whole life. I don't see how that would hold water in a court. Because
so here's what they say, okay? So they say, okay, well, we already have statutes in place like that. For cars, for example, if you give your kid the car and your kid goes out and gets in a crash, you're liable for that. Allegedly.
Not if they have a driver's license. I mean,
yeah. Right.
I mean, I'm not liable for something my kid does if he's got a legal driver's license and his license to drive.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that as your initial, because that's my initial reaction too. It's like the parents aren't responsible for that, and it goes against every notion of fairness and justice we've ever had. So I'm glad to hear that take. We'll be right back.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We are going to take you into January of 2025 with some great content, great guests, great hosts, and of course your phone calls. David Noble will be in the house. Scott Aspenlighter in the house as well. So stay tuned to Montana Talks right here on your favorite radio station on through 2024, right into 2025 with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana.